The Purgatory of St. Patrick by Pedro Calderon de la Barca. Now first translated fully from the Spanish in the meter of the original by Dennis Florence McCarthy. London, Henry S. King and Company, 65 Cornhill and 12 Paternoster Row, 1873. Persons: Egerius, King of Ireland. Patrick, Luis Ennius, a good angel, a bad angel, Philip, Leary, a captain, Polonia, daughter of the king, Lesbia, her sister, Paul, a peasant, Lucy, his wife, two canons regular, two peasants, an old countryman, a muffled figure, attendants, friars, and others. The scene passes in Ireland, in the court of King Egerius, and other parts. Act the First. The seashore with precipitous cliffs. Scene 1. The King Egerius clad in skins. Leary, Polonia, Lesbia, and a captain. King, furious.
Here let me die! Away!
Oh, stop, my lord!
Consider.
Listen. Stay.
Yes. From this rocky height, nigh to the sun, that with one starry light its rugged brow doth crown, headlong among the salt waves leaping down, let him descend who so much pain perceives. There let him raging die who raging lives.
Lesbia. Why wildly seekest thou the sea?
Polonia.
Thou wert asleep, my lord. What could it be?
King.
Every torment that doth dwell forever with the thirsty fiends of hell,
dark brood of that dread mother, the seven-necked snake whose poisoned breath doth smother the fourth celestial sphere. In fine, its horror and its misery drear within me reach so far that I myself upon myself make war, when in the arms of sleep a living corse am I, for it doth keep such mastery over my life that as I dream, pale foreshadowing threat of coming death I seem.
Polonia.
How could a dream, my lord, provoke you so?
Alas, my daughters, listen, you shall know. From out the lips of a most lovely youth, and though a miserable slave, in sooth, I dare not hurt him, and I speak his praise. Well, from the mouth of a poor slave, a blaze of lambent luster came, which mildly burned in rays of gentlest flame, till, reaching you, the living fire at once consumed ye two. I stood between ye both, and though I sought to stay its fury, the strange fire would not molest or wound me, passing like the wind, so that, despairing, blind, I woke from out of deep abysm of dream, a lethargy, a paroxysm, but find my pains the same. For still it seems to me I see that flame, and flying at every turn, see you consumed, but now I also burn.
Lesbia.
Light phantoms these, chimeras which an entrance find with ease into the dreamer's brain. A trumpet sounds, but wherefore sounds this trumpet?
Captain.
It is plain, ships are approaching to our port below.
Polonia.
Grant me thy leave, great lord, since thou dost know, a trumpet in my ear sounds like a siren's voice, serene and clear. Ever to war inclined, in martial music my chief joy I find. Its clangor and its din lead my rapt senses on, for I may win through it my highest fame, when soaring to the sun on waves of flame, or wings as swift, my proud name shall ascend. There it may be, with Pallas to contend.
A stronger motive urges me to go. If it is Philip's ship, I wish to know.
Exit.
Leary.
Descend, my lord, with me, down where the foam-curled head of the blue sea bows at the base of this majestic hill, whose sands, like chains of gold, restrain its wilder will.
Captain.
Let it divert thy care, this snow-white monster fair, whose waves of dazzling hue shape silver frames round mirrors sapphire blue.
King.
Nothing can give relief. Nothing can now divert me from my grief. That mystic fire will give my life no rest. My heart in Etna seems within my breast.
Lesbia, is any sight more fair? Can aught surpass that of a vessel breaking through the glass of crystal seas, and seeming there to be, as with light share it cuts the azure mass, a fish of the wind, a swift bird of the sea, and being for two elements designed, flies in the wave and swims upon the wind? But now, no witchery were it to any eyes that sight to see. For lo, the roused-up ocean, heaving with all its mountain waves in motion, wrinkles its haughty brow, and suddenly awaking, Neptune, his trident shaking, ruffles the beauteous face so sweet and calm but now. Well may the sailor in his floating home expect a storm, for lo, in heaven's high vault rise pyramids of ice, mountains of salt, turrets of snow, and palaces of foam.
Polonia returns. Polonia.
Oh, dire misfortune!
King. What so suddenly has chanced, Polonia?
Polonia.
This inconstant sea, this babble of wild waves that seeks heaven's gate, so great its fury and its rage so great, driven by a drought accursed, who would have thought that waves themselves could thirst, has swallowed in the depths of its dread womb but now a numerous company to whom it consecrates below red sepulchres of coral, tombs of snow in silver shining caves. For from their prison out o'er all the waves has Aeolus the winds let loose, and they, without a law to guide them on their way, fell on that bark from which the trumpet rang, a swan whose own sad obsequies it sang. I, from that cliff's stupendous height, which dares to intercept the great sun's light, looked full of hope along that vessel's track, to see if it was Philip who came back. Philip, whose flag had borne upon the breeze thy royal arms triumphant through the seas, when his sad wreck swept by, and every sound was buried in a sigh. His ruin seemed not wrought by seas or skies, but by my lips and eyes, because my cries, the tears that made me blind, increased still more the water and the wind.
King. How, ye immortal deities, would you still try by threatenings such as these what I can bear? Is it your wish that I should mount and tear this azure palace down, as if the shape of a new Nimrod I assume to show how on my shoulders might the world escape, nor as I gazed below feel any fear, though all the abysses under were rent with fire and flame, with lightning and thunder?
Footnote. Nimrod is here used for Atlas.
Scene 2. Patrick, and then Luis Ennius.
Patrick, within.
Ah, me.
Leary.
Some mournful voice.
King.
What's this?
Captain.
The form as of a man who has escaped the storm swims yonder to the land.
Lesbia.
And strives to give a life-sustaining hand unto another wretch, when he appeared about to sink in death's last agony.
Polonia.
Poor traveller from afar, whom evil fate and thy malignant star on this far shore have cast, let my voice guide thee, if amidst the blast my accents thou canst hear, since it is only to rouse thy courage that I speak to thee. Come!
Enter Patrick and Luis Ennius, clasping each other.
Oh, God, save me,
Luis.
Oh, the devil, save me!
Lesbia.
They move my pity, these unhappy two.
King.
Not mine, for what it is I never knew.
Patrick.
Oh, sirs, if wretchedness can move most hearts to pity man's distress, I will not think that here a heart can be so cruel and severe as to repel a wretch from out the wave. Pity, for God's sake, at your feet I crave.
Louise. I don't, for I disdain it. From God or man I never hope to gain it.
King.
Say who you are. We then shall know what hospitable care your needs we owe. But first I will inform you of my name, lest ignorance of that perchance might claim exemption from respect, and words be said unworthy of the deference and the dread that here my subjects show me, or wanting the due homage that you owe me. I am the King Egerius, the worthy lord of this small realm, for thus I call it, being mine. Till 'tis the world, my sword shall not resign its valorous hope. The dress, not of a king, but of wild savageness I wear, to testify, thus seeming a wild beast, how wild am I. No god my worship claims. I do not even know the deity's names. Here they no service nor respect receive. To die and to be born is all that we believe. Now that you know how much you should revere my royal state, say who you are.
Patrick. Then hear. Patrick is my name, my country Ireland, and a humble hamlet, scarcely known to men, called Empthor, is my place of birth. It standeth midway twixt the north and west, on a mountain which is guarded as a prison by the sea, in the island which hereafter will be called the Isle of Saints, to its glory everlasting. Such a crowd, great lord, therein will give up their lives as martyrs in religious attestation of the faith, faith's highest marvel. Of an Irish cavalier, and of his chaste spouse and partner, a French lady I was born, unto whom I owe, oh happy that 'twas so, beyond my birthright of nobility, the vantage of the Christian faith, the light of Christ's true religion granted in the sacred rite of baptism, which a mark indelibly stampeth on the soul, heaven's gate, as it is the sacrament first granted by the church. My pious parents, having thus the debt exacted from all married people paid by my birth, retired thereafter to two separate convents, where in the purity and calmness of their chaste abodes they lived, till the fatal line of darkness, ending life, was reached, and they, fortified by every practice of the Catholic faith, in peace yielded up their souls in gladness, unto heaven their spirits giving unto earth their ashes. I, an orphan, then remained, carefully and kindly guarded by a very holy matron, underneath whose rule I hardly had completed one brief lustrum. 5 short years had scarce departed, 5 bright circles of the sun wheeling round on golden axles, 12 high zodiac signs illuming, and 1 earthly sphere, when happened, through me an event that showed God's omnipotence and marvels, since of weakest instruments God makes use of, to enhance his majesty the more, and to show that for what men think the grandest and most strange effects, to him should alone the praise be granted. It so happened, and heaven knoweth that it is not pride, but rather pure religious zeal, that men should know how the Lord hath acted, makes me tell it. That one day, to my doors, a blind man rambled, Gormus was his name, who said, God who sends me here commands thee in his name to give me sight. I, obedient to the mandate, made at once the sign of the cross on his sightless eyes, that started into life and light once more, from their state of utter darkness. At another time, when heaven, muffled in the thickest, blackest clouds, made war upon the world, hurling at it lightning lances of white snow, which fell so thickly on a mountain that soon after, they being melted by the sun, so filled up our streets and alleys, so inundated our houses, that amid the wild waves stranded, there were ships of bricks and stones, barks of cement and of plaster. Who before saw waves on mountains? Who mid woods saw ships at anchor? I the sign of the cross then made on the waters, and in accents, in a tone of grave emotion, in God's name the waves commanded to retire. They turned that moment, and left dry the lands they ravaged. O great God, who will not praise thee? Who will not confess thee, Master?
Other wonders I could tell you, but my modesty throws shackles on my tongue, makes mute my voice, and my lips seals up and fastens. I grew up in fine, inclined less to arms than to the marvels knowledge can reveal. I gave me, almost wholly up to master, sacred science, to the reading of the lives of saints, a practice which doth teach us faith, hope, zeal, charity, and Christian manners. In these studies thus immersed, I one day approached the margin of the sea with some young friends, fellow students and companions, when a bark drew nigh, from which, suddenly out-leaping, landed armed men, fierce pirates they, who these seas, these islands ravaged. We at once were captives made, and in order not to hazard losing us their prey, they sailed out to sea with swelling canvas. Of this daring pirate boat, Philip de Roque was the captain. In his breast, for his destruction, pride, the poisonous weed, was planted. He, the Irish seas and coast, having thus for some days ravaged, taking property and life, pillaging our homes and hamlets, but myself alone reserved, to be offered as a vassal, as a slave to thee, O king, in thy presence, as he fancied. Oh, how ignorant is man, when of God's wise laws regardless, when without consulting him he his future projects planneth. Philip well, at sea, might say so, since to-day, in sight of land here, heaven the while being all serene, mild the air, the water tranquil, in an instant, in a moment, he beheld his proud hopes blasted. In the hollow-breasted waves roared the wind, the sea grew maddened, billows upon billows rolled, mountain high, and wildly dashed them wet against the sun, as if they its light would quench in darkness. The poop lantern of our ship seemed a comet most erratic, seemed a moving exhalation, or a star from space outstarted. At another time it touched the profoundest deep-sea caverns, or the treacherous sands whereon ran the stately ship and parted. Then the fatal waves became monuments of alabaster, tombs of coral and of pearl. Aye, and why this boon was granted unto me by heaven, I know not, being so useless. With expanded arms struck out, but not alone, my own life to save, nay, rather, in the attempt to save this brave young man here, that life to barter. For I know not by what secret instinct towards him I'm attracted, and I think he yet will pay me back this debt with interest added. Finally, through heaven's great pity, we at length have happily landed, where my misery may expect it, or my better fate may grant it, since we are your slaves and servants, that being moved by our disasters, our sore plight may melt your hardness, our affliction force your kindness, and our very pains command you. King.
Silence, miserable Christian, for my very soul seems fastened on thy words, compelling me, how I know not, to regard thee with strange reverence and fear. Thinking thou must be that vassal, that poor slave whom in my dream I beheld out-breathing flashes, saw out-flashing living fire, in whose flame so lithe and lambent my Polonia and my Lesbia, like poor moths, were burned to ashes.
Patrick. Know the flame that from my mouth issued is the true evangel, is the doctrine of the gospel. 'Tis the word which I'm commanded unto thee to preach, O king, to thy subjects and thy vassals, to thy daughters, who shall be Christians through its means.
King. Cease. Fasten thy presumptuous lips, vile Christian, for thy words insult and stab me.
Lesbia.
Stay,
Polonia. And wilt thou in thy pity try to save him from his anger?
Lesbia.
Yes.
Polonia.
Forbear, and let him die.
Lesbia.
Thus to die by a king's hands here were unjust.
Aside.
It is my pity for these Christians prompts my answer.
Polonia.
If this second Joseph, then, like the first one, would unravel, would interpret the king's dreams, do not dread the result, my father. For if my being seen to burn indicates in any manner I should ever be a Christian,
as impossible a marvel such would be as if, being dead, I could rise and live hereafter. But in order that your mind may be turned from such just anger, let us hear now who this other stranger is.
Luis, then be attentive, beautiful divinity, for my history thus commences. Great Egerius, king of Ireland, I by name am Luis Ennius, and a Christian also, this being the sole point of resemblance betwixt Patrick and myself, yet a difference presenting. For although we two are Christians, so distinct and so dissevered are we, that not good from evil is more opposite in its essence. Yet for all that, in defence of the faith I believe in reverence, I would lose 1,000 lives, such is the esteem for it I cherish. Yes, by God, the oath alone shows how firmly I confess him. I know pious tales or wonders worked in my behalf by heaven have to speak of. No. Dark crimes, robberies, murders, sacrileges, treasons, treacheries, betrayals, must I tell instead. However vain it be in me to glory in my having such effected. I, in one of Ireland's many isles, was born. The planet 7, I suspect, in wild and normal interchange of influences, must have at my hapless birth time all their various gifts presented. Fickleness, the moon implanted in my nature, subtle Hermes, with a genius ill-employed, better ne'er to have possessed them. Wanton Venus gave me passions, all the flatteries of the senses, and stern Mars a cruel mind. Mars and Venus both together, what will they not give? The sun gave to me an easy temper, prone to spend, and when means failed me, theft and robbery were my helpers. Jupiter, presumptuous pride, thoughts fantastic and unfettered gave me. Saturn, rage and anger, valor and a will determined on its ends. And from such causes followed the due consequences. Here from Ireland, being banished, by a cause I do not mention through respect to him, my father came to Perpignan, and settled in that Spanish town when I, scarce my first 10 years had ended, and when 16 came, he died. May God rest his soul in heaven. Orphaned, I remained the prey of my passions and my pleasures, o'er whose tempting plain I ran without rein or curb to check me. The two poles of my existence, on which all the rest depended for support, were play and women. What a base on which to rest me! Here my tongue would not be able to acquaint you in extenso with my actions. A brief abstract may, however, be attempted. I, to outrage a young maiden, stabbed to death a noble elder, her own father. For the sake of his wife, a most respected cavalier I slew, as he lay beside her in the helpless state of sleep, his honor bathing in his blood, the bed presenting a sad theater of crimes, murder and adultery blended. Thus the father and the husband life for honor's sake surrendered, for even honor has its martyrs. May God rest their souls in heaven. Dreading punishment for this, I fled hastily and entered France, where my exploits, methinks, time will not cease to remember. For assisting in the wars which at that time were contended bravely betwixt France and England, I took military service under Stephen, the French king, and a fight which chance presented showed my courage to be such that the king himself, as guerdon of my valor, gave to me the commission of an ensign. How that debt I soon repaid, I prefer not now to tell thee. Back to Perpignan, thus honored, I returned, and having entered once a guardhouse there to play, for some trifle I lost temper, struck a sergeant, killed a captain, and maimed others there assembled. At the cries from every quarter speedily the watch collected, and in flying to a church, as they hurried to prevent me, I a catchpole killed. 'Twas something one good work to have effected mid so many that were bad. May God rest to his soul in heaven.
Far I fled into the country, and asylum found and shelter in a convent of religious, which was founded in that desert, where I lived retired and hidden, well taken care of and attended. For a lady there, a nun, was my cousin, which connection gave to her the special burden of this care. My heart already, being a basilisk which turned all the honey into venom, passing swiftly from mere liking to desire, that monster ever feeding on the impossible, living fire that with intensest fury burns when most opposed, flame the wind revives and strengthens, false, deceitful, treacherous foe which doth murder its possessor. In a word, desire in him, who nor God nor law respecteth, of the horrible, of the shocking, thinks but only to attempt it. Yes, I dared. But here disturbed, when my lord I this remember, mute the voice in horror falls. Sad the accent faints and trembles, as mid the night's dark shadows the hair stands on end through terror. Thus confused, so full of doubt, sad remembrance so o'erwhelms me that the thing I dared to do I scarce dare in words to tell thee. For in fine, my crime is such, so to be abhorred, detested, so profane, so sacrilegious, strange upon thee so to press it, that for having such committed I at times feel some repentance. Well, in fine, I dared one night, when deep silence had erected sepulchres of fleeting sleep for men's overwearied senses, when a dark and cloudy veil heaven had o'er its face extended, mourning which the wind assumed for the sun whose life had ended, in whose obsequies the night-bird's swan notes sang instead of verses, and when back from waves of sapphire, where their beauty was reflected, the clear stars a second time trembling lights to heaven presented. Well, on such a night, by climbing o'er the garden wall, I entered, with the assistance of two friends, for when such things are attempted, an associate never fails, in which was my cousin, whom respectful silence bids me not to name, though all self-respect has left me. Frightened at such nameless horror, on the hard floor she fell senseless. When she passed into my arms, and ere she regained her senses, she already was outside her asylum, in a desert, when if heaven possessed the power, it had not the will to help her. Women, when they are persuaded that the wildest of excesses are the effects of love, forgive them easily, and therefore pleasure following tears, some consolation in her miseries was effected. Though in fact they were so great that, united in one person, she saw violence, violation, incest, nay, adultery even, against God who was her spouse, and a sacrilege most dreadful. Finally we left that place, being carried to Valencia, by two steeds that well might claim from the winds to be descended, feigning that she was my wife. But with little peace we dwelt there, for I, quickly having squandered whatsoever little treasure I brought with me, without friends, without any hope of help there, in my dire distress appealed to the beauty, still so perfect, of my poor pretended wife. If for aught I did, I ever could feel shame, this act alone would most surely overwhelm me, since it is the lowest baseness that the vilest breast descends to put up to sail one's honor and to trade in love's caresses. Scarce with shameless front had I this base plan to her suggested, when concealing her design she gave seeming acquiescence. But I scarce had turned my back, hardly had I left her presence, when she, flying from me, found grace a convent's walls to enter. There, a holy monk advising, she a saving port and shelter found against the world's wild storms, and there died, her sin, her penance, giving all a great example. May God rest her soul in heaven. seeing that the narrow world now took note of my offences, and that soon the very land might reject me, I determined to reseek my native country, for at least I there expected to be safer from my foes, in a place so long my centre and my home. The way I took, and to Ireland came, which welcomed me at first, as would a mother. But a stepmother resembled before long, for seeking a passage where a harbour lay protected by a mole, I found that corsairs lay concealed within the shelter of a little creek which hid out of view their well-armed vessel. And of these, their captain, Philip, took me prisoner, after efforts made in my defence so brave that in deference to the mettle I displayed, my life he spared. What ensued, you know already, how the wind in sudden anger, rising into raging tempest, now chastised us in its pride, now our lives more cruelly threatened, making in the seas and mountains such wild ruin and resemblance, that to mock the mountain's pride, waves still mightier forms presented, which with catapults of crystal made the cliff's foundations tremble, so that neighboring cities fell. And the sea, in scornful temper, gathering up from its abysses the munition it collecteth, fired upon the land its pearls in their shells, wherein engendered by the swift breath of the morning in its dew, they shine resplendent, tears of ice and fire. In fine, not in pictures so imperfect, all our time to waste, the crew went to sup in the infernal halls themselves. I, too, a guest, would have equally attended with them, if this Patrick here, whom I know not why I reverence, looking with respect and fear on his beauteous countenance ever, had not drawn me from the sea, where exhausted, sinking, helpless, I drank death in every draught, agony in each salt wave's venom. This my history is, and now I wish neither life nor mercy, neither that my pain should move thee, nor my asking should compel thee, save in this, give me death, that thus may the life be ended of a man who is so bad that he scarcely can be better. King. Luis, though thou art a Christian, which by me is most detested, yet I so admire thy courage that I wish before all present, between thee and him, to show how my power can be exerted, how it punishes as rewards, how it elevates and depresses. And so thus my arms I give thee, that within them thus extended thou mayst reach my heart. To thee, thus beneath my feet to tread thee.
He throws Patrick on the ground, and places his foot upon him.
The two actions signifying how the heavier scale descendeth. And that, Patrick, thou mayst see how I value or give credit to thy threats. Thy life I spare. Vomit forth the flame incessant of the so-called word of God, that by this thou mayst be certain I do not adore his godship, nor his miracles have dread of. Live then, but in such a state of poor, mean, and abject service as befits a useless hind in the fields. And so, as shepherd, I would have thee guard my flocks, which are in these vales collected. Let us see if, for the purpose of this mystic fire outspreading, being my slave, thy God will free thee from captivity and thy fetters. Exit.
Lesbia. Patrick moves my heart to pity. Exit. Polonia. Not so mine, for none I cherish. Had I any, none would move me sooner than this Luis Ennius.
Exit. Footnote. It is difficult to account for Calderon giving the name of Egeria to the King of Ireland when he bestows the proper one, Leary, on an inferior character. Calderon had to invent names for the king's daughters, as he did not find them in Montalvan. In the Book of Armagh, they are called Ethna the Fair and Fidelm the Ruddy. Scene 3. Patrick and Luis. Patrick. Luis, though a low position mine is here, and I observe thee raised to fortune's highest summit, yet I feel more grief than envy at thy rise. Thou art a Christian. Show thyself one now in earnest.
Luis.
Patrick, let me now enjoy the first favors fate has sent me after so much sad misfortune.
Patrick.
One word, then, if thou wilt let me so presume, I ask of thee.
Luis.
What is that?
Patrick.
Upon this earth here, once again, alive or dead, that we two shall meet together.
Luis.
Such a word dost ask me?
Patrick.
Yes.
Luis.
Then I give it.
Patrick.
I accept it.
Exeunt.
End of part 1.